Before we begin this lesson in chapter 2 of the book of Joshua, we need to address the authorship of this original manuscript. We saw in chapter 1, and we will see immediately here in chapter 2, verse 1, that when Joshua speaks or does something, the text starts with the statement or with something like, "Then Joshua." So the words indicate that Joshua did not write this original manuscript. Now, the Jewish Talmud attributes the record of this book to either Eleazar or to Phinehas, the two priests. They're both descendant sons of Aaron, who were in charge of the manuscripts when Moses gave them to them. And by the way, I agree. I agree that it was probably Eleazar or Phinehas who wrote this manuscript down and recorded what was going on as Joshua did it. So continuing under the topic that we started last week of the beginning of Joshua's command, we come to the great plan of Joshua. We see that Joshua had learned his lessons well from Moses. 39 years before, he was involved with Moses when he sent 12 spies to search out the promised land. Now in the first verse, we see Joshua entered the order for the sending of, this time, two spies to Jericho, chapter 2, verse 1. "Then Joshua, the son of Nun, sent two men as spies secretly from Shittim, saying, 'Go view the land, especially Jericho.'" Shittim is also known as Abel Shittim, and it's the area on the east side of the plain of Moab, up by the mountains, about 5 miles from the bank of the Jordan River. It is a village today that is called Abila. But back in Joshua's day, in Moses' day, it was just an open field area, a meadow. In fact, the nation of Israel gave it that name, and it gave it the name the Meadow of Acacia Trees, because the word Shittim means acacia. And so Joshua sent the two spies to Jericho about 2 miles from the bank of the Jordan River. After they cross the Jordan, about 2 more miles, they're in Jericho. No doubt, the Lord spoke to Joshua at the beginning of Nisan the 7th. Here's our map from last. Here on the dark of this day, Nisan the 7th, is when the Lord spoke to Joshua and told him on this day, because that day changes at 6 o'clock and it's night. The spies must have left that night. In fact, we know they left that night. They crossed the Jordan River and they entered Jericho's gates before closing. Now, once inside the gate of Jericho, the problem became the lodging of the two spies. And we see that in verse 1b. "So they went and came into the house of a harlot whose name was Rahab, and lodged there." In John Phillips' Bible character series, Exploring the People of the Old Testament, Volume 1, and by the way, if you remember, he was my mentor, he says that the following about Rahab. He says this. He says, "Rahab is first introduced as an unchaste member of a degenerate and decadent race. The prevailing Canaanite religion was unspeakably foul. One of the chief deities of Canaan was Ashtoreth, the goddess of sensual love. The most licentious rites were conducted in her honor. The vilest of every kind was elevated to an act of worship. Her temple was served by scores of sacred courtesans. Probably Rahab, even as a young girl, was chosen by the priest to serve in one of their temples. In the Bible, she is bluntly labeled a harlot. Whether as a consecrated priestess of the occult or the cult, or as a common woman of the streets, she lived in sin. The Canaanite lifestyle in which she was born took immorality in its stride. Rahab's occupation was endorsed by society. Her days, however, were numbered. Divine judgment was about to fall on her, on her way of life, and upon her entire nation. God had already appointed the day in which He would judge the world of her day. Now listen, I want to tell you about the construction of the walls of Jericho. It's very interesting how it was done. Jericho was like this. The town did not have just one wall around the city. This is interesting. It had two walls around the city with a space in between of about 15 feet. Both walls had gates. Getting past the first gate would not have been very hard after dark because that gate was left open longer at night than the inner gate. Now, getting past the second gate at night would have almost been impossible because you had to have a real reason to prove yourself to get through that gate. It was for that reason that when these two spies were going to land in the home of this licentious woman, this woman by the name, there's a harlot by the name of Rahab, and you see that outer wall area of the city, the outer wall was about 6 feet thick, the inner wall is about 12 feet thick with 15 feet in between it. And in between those two walls, riffraff of the degenerate members of Jericho would build a floor up high between these two walls, and then they'd put a roof on top of it to boot. Inside of the inner wall lived the people who were there. Inside the inner wall in the main part of the city lived the people who were not degenerate, but the degenerate people lived in between that area around the wall. No doubt, the entry of the two spies through the first gate drew attention to the sentry, and that set the stage for the next event. We come to the report of the two spies to the king of Jericho here in verse 2. It was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, men from the sons of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land." So we indeed find out that the spies entered the gate at night, for the verse tells us it was so. So the king did not wait for morning. That night, we hear of the summon of the two spies, verse 3. And the king of Jericho sent word to Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the land." Now Jericho guarded one of the main roads that ran from the Jordan Valley up through the hill country. And it was just about 7 miles from the camp of Israel on the other side, on the plain of Moab, on the other side of the Jordan River. This king knew what the nation had done with the two Amorite kings on the east side. His fear told him that these spies were from Israel, and his men told him that too because they all knew it. All the people knew what was going on. They'd all heard the story. We're going to find that out in a minute. And he knew what they were doing. And he was right. And for whatever reason, Rahab did not comply with this king's order. We find her hiding the two spies in verse 4. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them, and she said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from." It came about when it was time to shut the gates at dark that the men went out. "I do not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them." But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them in the stalks of the flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. Rahab lied to the king. The consequences could have been deadly if the king had discovered the truth. She tells the king's men the spies had left the city before the outer gate was shut for the night, but she had hidden them on the roof underneath the stalks of flax. By the way, those flax were more than likely the actual roofing material that kept the weather out from her during storms and weathers. So the men took Rahab at her word, and we hear of the pursuing of the two spies next in verse 7. So the men pursued them on the road to the Jordan to the fords. And as soon as those who were pursuing them had gone out, they shut the gate. The gate was not shut because it was time to be shut. The gate was shut to keep the spies from coming back in undercover. Yet they were still in. At least between the two walls, they were there. Now listen, a ford, as he mentioned there, he actually used the word fords, but a ford is a shallow place in the river where crossing is made easy. It just so happens that coming out of Jericho, there are four places where there were shallow areas that were they called fords. And so when the king's men have checked out all the fords at the Jordan River, they found nothing and they had to check them all out, and it would take some time. Therefore, the scripture was written correctly. There was nothing to see. Rahab, the hider of the two spies, went then to those men and told them what she knew. Verse 8. Now before they laid down, obviously for the night, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land and that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before you. These two spies were probably ready to fall fast asleep. And no sooner had they made that 7-mile journey that night, they'd entered in the outer gate, they had no choice but to seek shelter in the house of a prostitute, which, by the way, broke the Levitical law, only to find themselves in trouble with the king that night. No doubt they were tired. But that did not matter to Rahab. The men had to go for their safety, out of the city, out of the wall. The men had to go if the Lord was going to use them to take the promised land. And Rahab had figured the whole thing out. She already knew about the fear in Jericho of the nation of Israel. Rahab confessed to the spies what she heard about the power of the Lord of Israel in verse 10. For we have heard how the Lord dried the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and to Og, whom you utterly destroyed. When we heard it, our hearts melted, and no courage remained in any man any longer because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Listen to that confession of Rahab's knowledge concerning the Lord. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. She had heard the rumors of the Red Sea crossing. That happened 40 years before. She had heard of the defeat of the Amorite kings. That had happened just a few months before, and determined that the God of Moses is the God in heaven above and on earth beneath. All sinners can know about God. In fact, Paul in his letter to the Romans says this, for the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. Romans 1:20. Rahab, speaking for the people of the entire town of Jericho, expressed the depth of their despair. Consider now what she asked of the spies in verse 12. Now therefore, please swear to me by the Lord, since I have dealt kindly with you, that you also will deal kindly with my father's household, and give me a pledge of truth, and spare my father and my mother and my brothers and my sisters with all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death. Rahab wanted to live through the onslaught of the coming nation. She knew what was coming. She knew they would be defeated. She wanted her family to live also. She knew by instinct that Jericho, that double wall as it was, could not stand against the God of Israel. Well, look now at what she received from the spies. She received a promise in verse 14. So the men said to her, our life for yours, if you do not tell this business of ours. And it shall come about when the Lord gives us the land, that we will deal kindly and faithfully with you. So a pledge was made to her. That's the same as an oath. The spies did not ask permission from Joshua to make this pledge. How could they promise something that broke the command of the Lord? You say, how did it break the command of the Lord? And in case you have not forgotten, I will tell you. Here in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1 and 2a, when the Lord your God brings you into the land where you are entering to possess it and clears away many nations before you, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and stronger than you, and when the Lord your God delivers them before you and you defeat them, listen to this, you shall utterly destroy them. In Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 16 through 18, Moses said this, only in the cities of these people which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, you shall not leave alive anything that breathes, but you shall utterly destroy them. The Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that they may not teach you to do according to all their detestable things which they have done for their gods, so that you would sin against the Lord your God. Rahab's received this promise from these spies. And that leads us to the plan of Rahab. She knows best and directs the path of these two spies. First, through the window they must go, for the outer gate of the city has already been closed. Chapter 2, verse 15. Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall, so that she was living on the wall. Second, they must run to the hills, in verse 16. She said to them, go to the hill country, so that the pursuers will not happen upon you, and hide yourselves there for 3 days until the pursuers return. Then afterward you may go on your way. Just moments before, she had sent the king's men to find the spies headed back across the Jordan River. Now, Rahab sends these spies off south, to the hills to wait until the king's men can return and it is safe for the spies to cross over the Jordan River and join back with the camp. Here is what we must remember as we read this text. The spies were probably in Rahab's house on the wall less than 4 hours, if that much. They had not spied out anything about the city save for the construction of the double wall and the house of Rahab built between the walls. She told them to hide 3 days. Now, the counting of Jewish time, of course, I've told you before, changes at 6 o'clock. This line's going to represent 6 o'clock p.m. each night. This means that the men left on the 7th here. They left there on the 7th of Nisan. They arrived in Jericho on the 7th of Nisan. And on the 7th of Nisan, they went out the window on the 7th of Nisan. Now, in our Western calendar, it's the whole day is the whole day, okay? So the reality is, when talking about our calendar, the way we look at it, he went there on the 6th. They arrived there on the 6th. They did everything on the 6th. And by the way, probably after midnight is when they left. They left on the 7th day. Now, with us, here on the Jewish calendar, it's all the 7th day. So waiting 3 days would mean that they probably would be safe to return to the camp on the 9th of Nisan. Here it is. 1, 2, 3, return. They returned on the 9th. Well, that's just in time for them to spend the night and then cross over the Jordan River with their family on the 10th, just as the Bible tells us here in the book of Joshua that they crossed the river on the 10th of Nisan. We talked about that in last week's lesson. Now, these spies gave their oath, but they included a way to be free from the oath. Here we see the instruction of the two spies, which includes the sign of the agreement, verse 17. The men said to her, "We shall be free from this oath to you, which we have made, you have made us swear, unless when we come into the land, you tie this cord of scarlet thread in the window through which you let us down, and gather to yourselves into the house your fathers, your mother, and your brothers, and your father's household." Verse 17 there. The scarlet thread was given to Rahab from the spies, and it was the sign of the agreement. But the spies agreed to save only those who were inside her house, just inside that window, nowhere else. If there's no thread on the window, there's no agreement. Well, from the sign of the agreement, we consider the term of the agreement in verse 19. "It shall come about that anyone who goes out of the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we shall be free. But anyone who is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on him." Well, simply, the spies agreed to protect Rahab's family, who were just inside that window, but nowhere else. Well, from the sign of the agreement to the terms of the agreement, we now see the secret of the agreement in verse number 20. "But if you tell this business of ours, then we shall be free from the oath you have made us swear." And she said, "According to your words, so be it." So she sent them away, and they departed. And she tied the scarlet cord in the window. Rahab and the spies agreed to keep the plan secret between the three of them. She helped them out the window in the dark of the night, and then Rahab immediately tied the scarlet thread to the window that night. She did not wait a single day. Rahab was serious about this plan to save her life and to save the lives of her family. Well, from the path of the two spies to the instruction of the two spies, we come to the journey of the two spies. And first we see what the spies did in verse 22. "They departed and came to the hill country and remained there for 3 days until their pursuers returned." The spies took the advice of Rahab and waited 3 days before returning to the Israelite camp. The plan was working. Second, we see what the pursuers found in verse 22b. "Now the pursuers had sought them all along the road, but had not found them. The men found nothing, not a trace. Surely the king's disappointed." Third, we come to what the spies said in verse 23. "Then the two men returned and came down from the hill country and crossed over and came to Joshua, the son of Nun. And they related to him all that had happened to them. And they said to Joshua, 'Surely the Lord has given all the land into our hands. Moreover, all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before us.'" Joshua was not bothered by the oath of the spies whatsoever. He was comforted by their report. He did not take credit. He gave the credit to the Lord. Well, so let's kind of review where we've been here. All right. As we review where we've been, we see that we've opened up in chapter 1, and we have Joshua being given this commandment to go and to rise and go across and across the Jordan River to tell all the people to get prepared and get your provisions ready. We're going to move down to the Jordan River, and once we get down to the Jordan River, we are then going to stay there for a night. And we're going to wait there until the 10th of Nisan. And on the 10th of Nisan, we're going to cross over the Jordan River. That's what we're going to do. And so the whole camp gets ready. But before they move, he sends two spies over to Jericho. He sends them and they leave and they get to Jericho at night. They get just inside the outer gate at night. They get up into they can't find a place to lodge. So they go into the harlot's place, Rahab. They're not there very long before the tattletales tell the king. The king sends to try to get them. Rahab lies about it. She tells the men to go search down by the river, get on the road. She then goes up to the men before they lie down to sleep, and they're tired for the night. And she says to them, look, you've got to get out of here tonight. You've got to go. They make a deal. They make all these deals. And as they're making the deals, when they make them, then they make a promise, and they have a way out of it. And the men hand her a scarlet thread and say, if you're going to tie this in the window, then whoever's in your room, behind that window, in your house, your father, your mother, your brothers, your sisters, they will be safe. And if they're not in there, the blood's on their hands. But if they're in there, if anybody harms you, the blood's on our hands. So the men hop out the window. Out they go. They wait till the third day. They show back up on the day before the camp's going to move. And they report to Joshua. And Joshua is happy. What a great day. What a great day. Well, that's the first two chapters in the book of Joshua. And we'll pick up in chapter 3 our next visit together. Lord, we love your books of the Bible. We just love learning about you guiding and being in control. And next week it even gets better. And we love that. And we love you, Lord. In your name, amen and amen.